always a blessing to have folks visiting with us, have folks visiting back with us, and I appreciate you coming out this morning to hear the Word of God preached. Thank you for making the right decision, the right choice of making the house of God a priority this day. We've been preaching through the book of Nehemiah together, and we've come to chapter 10. And I do not believe I'll get through this entire message. Of course, that's becoming a normal thing for me now. But I do not believe I'm going to get through this message, but we'll get started with it. And I've enjoyed the book of Nehemiah. And you say, Jody, what's your heart as the pastor? If you want to see my heart, come back tonight. My heart for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is the service tonight at 6:30. And what we're doing is taking the book of Nehemiah tonight, taking a break from preaching through the book, and we're going to apply just some lessons that we've learned to the work of the church. And I hope you'll be here in great numbers tonight. Let me just say this statement here before we get started. The more people that get involved, the more people that get reached. Now that's not a deep statement. But the more people that get involved, the more people who get reached. And may I say this to you? If you're saved today, somebody reached you. Now think about it. It could have been with a gospel track. It could have been just inviting you to church. It could have been listening to somebody on the radio, on the television. But no matter how you were reached with the gospel, God used another human being somehow to get the gospel to you. Now think about it. And we ought to be busy getting the gospel around the world. Amen. Amen. I'll amen myself right there. And I'm saying to you tonight, I'm begging you, come back just to hear it. You're not going to be pressured to do anything. I do not believe in pressuring you to do anything for the Lord. I don't believe in that. But I do believe in letting you know this is what God wants you to do. And I trust that you'll make the right decision. So I hope you see my heart in that. Please be back tonight if at all possible. Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 1. Now those who sealed were Nehemiah, the Tirshatha, the son of Hakaliah, and Zedekiah. Skip down to verse 27. And the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the lands and the law of God, their wives, their sons, and their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. Now I'm going to preach to you today, begin a message entitled The Covenant. Entitled The Covenant. Now keep in mind, just in case you're visiting with us, we are preaching through the book of Nehemiah. We have come to chapter 10, and we've come to the covenant. Let's pray together. We'll share this thought. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us now, I beg of you, to do the will of God. May you be honored and glorified and praised in everything that's said, everything that's done. Bless those who are coming faithfully. Bless those who are visiting with us today. God, bless those who are here service after service. May your will be done in all of our lives. Speak to me and speak through me, I pray. Thank you for the good number following in believers' baptism. Help us never to take that for granted, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we've come to this chapter, it would be beneficial to remember what's taking place at this time. Now, in chapter 8 of Nehemiah, we saw how the people had an intense desire for the book of the law of God, which is a picture of the Bible today. They wanted the book to be brought and read to them and their families. This led to a powerful prayer, if you remember now, in chapter 9, in which we noticed several principles for powerful prayer to apply in our own personal prayer life. Now, in that prayer, chapter 9 ended with the people having a resolve to obey the Lord by making a sure covenant to keep. Now, this is where we've come in this book. In other words, they've called for the book in chapter 8. They have broken out in powerful prayer in chapter 9. And they're ending chapter 9, with a sure covenant to hold them accountable to Almighty God. Now, chapter 10 deals with the covenant that they are coming into with the Lord. Now, look at this covenant together. Now, when we look at this covenant, there's one word that comes to mind throughout the covenant in chapter 10. It's the one word, commitment. Now, these people had gotten a fresh glimpse of their God through the book in chapter 8. They have broken out into powerful prayer to their God. Now they've come to the point where they are willing to commit themselves to their God. And let me pause here and say that when we spend time in the book, and when we spend time in prayer, we can begin to get a fresh glimpse of who our God is. And when we see who the Lord is, we will have no problem making a lifelong commitment to doing whatever He wants us to do with our life. The point I'm trying to make is the reason many today do not commit to the Lord is because they do not spend time in the book and they do not spend time in prayer. Therefore, they do not have an accurate picture of who He is. See, these people, when they called for the book in chapter 8 and began bursting out in powerful prayer in chapter 9, what happened is as they heard the Word of God read and they heard the Word of God preached, they started to get a fresh glimpse of who God really is. And then in chapter 10, they're saying, He's so good. Good night, look at Him. I'll do anything He wants me to do. I'll go anywhere He wants me to go. I don't care what He tells me to do. I will obey my God. And I'm telling you this morning that when you see God through the pages of the book and you see God in the prayer closet, you'll have no problem saying, God, whatever You tell me to do, I'm Yours. That's what's happening in chapter 10. Now we're going to look at this covenant together. We're going to notice two things, if I can get to two things today, about the covenant. Number one, it's sealers. Number two, we're going to look at its separation. Now notice first of all, it's sealers. Now look at the first phrase in verse number 1 of chapter 10. Now those that sealed, there it is. In other words, those that put their name on it. They didn't mind signing something. They didn't mind putting their name down on the dotted line. Hold me accountable to that right there. Now I'm going to look at these things together. There were a list of those who committed themselves to this covenant to keep it. Now it's interesting to note who the very first person was that signed it. Who is it? Nehemiah. Now keep in mind, Nehemiah is a layman. And he's the first one, the book's named after him here, he's the first one to put his name down on the covenant. Then you see in verses 2 to 13, I'm not going to read it for time's sake, we see the religious leaders, the priests, sealed. Then in verses 14 to 27, we see the chief of the people sealed. Finally, a list of the rest of the people sealed in verse number 28, which included the laymen to the high in religious position, to families, to converts. As you can see here, there's a wide range of people who sealed unto this covenant. In other words, it just wasn't the leaders. It was the leaders, but it didn't stop there. It was whole families. It was sons and daughters and moms and dads and grandparents. It was everybody saying, listen, God's been so good to us. We've seen a fresh glimpse of Him in chapter 8. We've broken out in prayer to Him in chapter 9. And we are coming into covenant. Hold me accountable. I'm committing myself. I will do what God wants me to do with my life. Now, there's a couple of things we can learn from these who sealed. The sealers. There's a couple of things we can learn. Number one under this, we can learn to use our God-given influence. Now, I bring this out in verse number 1. Again, as I've already mentioned, Nehemiah was the first name mentioned to seal on this covenant. Now, this is the same Nehemiah of this book that God had so worked in his heart to do something about the broken down wall. Now, I've already preached on this previously, but this is the same Nehemiah in chapter 1 who heard about the broken down wall. He gets burdened. He leaves his position. He goes down to the city and he rallies the people. This is the same Nehemiah. And we see here that he was interested in the people's well-being as much as the building of the wall. The point I'm trying to make here is this. I can imagine all eyes being focused upon Nehemiah. Whenever this covenant is being written, if you will, whenever the people say we're going to make a covenant, I can imagine every eyeball turning to Nehemiah and see what he's going to do. Because this whole thing, humanly speaking, God was behind it, you understand, but God used him to get the ball rolling in this book anyway. He's the leader, if you will. And as we see him, now get this, here's the point I'm trying to show you. Here's the people, they've called for the book, they've called for prayer, they are praying, they have built the wall, I mean the wall's already built at this time.
Nehemiah, their leader who rallied them and tried to burden them to come out of their comfort zone to build on their section of the wall. Now he's here. Here's a covenant. And they hand him a pen. What will he do? He does not hesitate. He goes and he says, "Where do you want me to put my name?" And he puts it down. You know the point I'm trying to make here? Nehemiah had God-given influence. Would you agree with that? Did he have influence with these people, yes or no? Sure he did. And he used it to help others commit to God. Let me apply this point. In the same way, all of God's children have been given some kind of influence. Every one of us. It may be not as much as somebody else. It may be more than somebody else. But the fact is, God has given every one of his children some type of influence. Some type. And what I'm saying is, some may have more than others. Some may have less than others. But everybody has influence. It could be influence with a spouse. It could be influence with a child. It could be influence with a friend. It could be influence with a coworker. It could be influence, young people, with a teammate. It could be influence that maybe something you have gone through that you have influence with somebody else going through it because you've already gone through it. For instance, if you've had a trial, a tragedy hit your life. Are you listening to me? If you've had a tragedy to hit your life, you have influence with those who are having tragedies now that somebody who does not have, who's never had a tragedy in their life has. For instance, if you came to me, are you listening to me? And you're going through a certain thing, I'll be glad to help you. You know that. I'll help you any way I can. But what I'm saying to you is that there would have to be some things that I'd have to look you right in the face and say, listen, I'll help you. I'll give you biblical principles. Here's what the Bible says. But I cannot tell you I understand because that's never happened to me. You follow me? But if you approach somebody, let's just take it this way. Let's just say that, which this is dangerous, but just pulling something out of midair. Let's just say that you've lost a mate. Okay? I'm not trying to jab you with daggers, please. But what I'm saying to you is this. If you've lost a mate, you have influence with other people who are lost, who have lost a mate that I do not have. Because I've not been there. You see, am I making any sense what I'm trying to show you? I'm saying everybody has some kind of God-given influence. Everybody does. And you need to find where God has given you influence and use it for the glory of Almighty God. God's given me influence with athletes. Not as much as it used to be. You know what will humble you quick? I went to Daniel Boone for the Truth Bible Club, the public school Bible Club that we've got there. Years ago, I could walk anywhere in that school and anybody knew who I was. But when I went to do that Bible Club, I had to introduce myself. I'm Jody Jenkins. My dad is Coach Jenkins. My brother is the head football coach, and I always say, don't hold that against me. I'm the much better looking one. It's interesting. Something about some types of influence is you only have it for a little while. How are you using your influence? Nehemiah had influence with these people. He knew that whatever he did, they would follow. So he had no trouble saying, "You want me to commit to God? Not a problem. Put her down there." You can tell I'm country, right? I'm saying, we learn, first of all, use your God-given influence. Secondly, we learn under this is all under the sealers, those who sealed, the many who seal. Number one, use your God-given influence. Number two, all are to obey God. All are. We see this in verses 1 through 28. I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but you just see the different names of people who signed. I'm going to draw your attention, though, for time's sake, to verse 28. And the rest of the people,
The priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they that had separated themselves from the people of the land and the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, everyone having knowledge and having understanding. Again, these are those who sealed. And what we see here is, as we consider these verses, we see the many different types of people who came under this covenant in order, get it, in verse number 29. Here's what it is. They clave to their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and into an oath. Here it is now. Here's the covenant. To walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, servant of the Lord, and to observe and to do all the commandments of the Lord our Lord, and His judgments and His statutes. There's the covenant. The covenant is whatever He tells us to do, every single command, we will obey it. Who did it? Who sealed it? The point is, everybody did. And we see here that everybody has the duty and responsibility to obey God. Everybody does. Those involved were the chief of the people, verse 14. The rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, the converts, the wives, the sons, the daughters, with understanding. In this we see the Lord expects all of His people to obey His word. No matter who they are, no matter what position they hold, whether you're a Nethinim, a singer, or just a wife. Don't misunderstand when I say just a wife. That could be misunderstood. Please don't misunderstand that. Please don't misunderstand that. That's when you get in trouble, when you don't say something that's right in front of your face. You understand? By the way, my wife had a birthday yesterday. She's sitting right here. By the way, this is being broadcast all over the world. Boy, she's a whopping 34 now. That's old, isn't it? Hogwash, you know. I can get away with that, can't I? I may not be here tonight at 6:30. You'll come back now to see if I'm here, right? I appreciate my wife. The Lord's given me a great one. He really has. I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't be your pastor without her. Amen. You say, what do you mean? You can pay me later. I'm going to tell you something. If you've got a wife or a spouse who loves God, you ought to get on your face and praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something about my wife. This is not my notes. This may cause me not to get to my second point, but that's okay. I feel led to do this. If I feel led to do it, I'm going to do it. My wife loves you very, very, very much. Now, I can't say the same about myself, okay? I'm kidding. We do love you. And all I'm saying to you, how in the world did I get off on this? I got off on this just to cover my tracks, and I said, if you're just a wife, you see what I'm saying? Thank God for my wife. Amen. Amen. Thank God for my wife. I praise the Lord for it. And what I'm saying to you this morning is that if you're a wife, you're a husband, you're a child, you're a daughter, you're a Nethinim, you're a singer, you're a porter, you're a Levite, you name it, you name it, you name it. You have one duty, and that is to obey God. Everybody's to obey. In the same way, no matter who we are or what position we hold, from the child to the chief, we're to obey the Lord. It's a privilege to have a copy of the wonderful Word of God today. That's a privilege. It's a privilege to have a copy of God's Word. What a privilege it is. The Word of God, the unadulterated Word, the inspired, inerrant, infallible. I'm talking about the Word of God. What a privilege it is to hold it in our hands. And folks, He didn't just give us His Word to admire. He gave us His Word to obey. We're to obey His Word. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 15:22, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." James 1:22, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Luke 6:46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's what the Lord said. Number one, we're noticing the covenant together. First of all, we've noticed its sealer. Secondly, and I've got to go quickly here, we're going to notice its separation. I want to give you a verse here that really, when you think of a doctrine, what is one doctrine that is misunderstood, especially in the independent Baptist movement? You know what it is? It's the doctrine of separation. You ever heard this? You can't do anything out of that church. You know what somebody like that just told you? They don't understand separation. Let me show you what separation is. Verse 28, look at it. Notice it now. The rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the porters, the singers, the Nethinims, and all they, notice it, that had separated themselves. Notice it, mark it. Here's one word, mark it. From the people of the lands. Mark it, number two, unto the law of God. The separation in this covenant. There were those who were to separate. Don't let that word scare you. In this verse, we notice that there were those who separated from the people of the lands unto the law of God. Now get this. The two words that I've given you that summarize true biblical separation is from and unto. This covenant involved people to separate. By the way, does God want you to separate? Yes or no?
Yes.
Sure he does. Come out from among them and be ye separate. That's a Bible command. But here's the thing. Too many Christians focus on come out from among them. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And they get upset. When really true biblical separation is from unto. Now stay with me here because it's so vital that you get this. In this life there are some churches and even Christians who misunderstand this term separation. Sometimes it's a word that people do not understand. For instance, there are those who think that separation carries the idea of a list of thou shalt nots. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Thou shalt not do that, 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 that. That's what they think separation is. It's just thou shalt nots. You can't do anything. I'm bound in that movement. Oh. What am I saying? When one really understands this principle brought out in this verse, it'll help you understand the real meaning of separation. The real meaning of separation is from the world unto the Lord. In other words, we should separate unto the Lord. And as we get as close to as we can to God, we will get further and further away from the world. That's separation. We need to focus. Listen, not so much on telling people, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. God's already done that anyway. Now we ought to have some thou shalt nots, amen? But in reality, you know what the secret to separation is? The book chapter 8, prayer chapter 9, they see God and they have no trouble saying, I want to get as close to him as I can. And as they get closer and closer to him, they're getting further and further away from. That's Bible separation. And you need to understand that. This church, listen to me, is not made up of a bunch of thou shalt nots. This church is made up of getting as close to God as you can. That's what this church is made of. And as you get close to God, you'll get further and further and further and further away from the world. I'm trying to let myself land here. Amen. What I'm trying to say is there are certain things you should not do because God is displeased with those things. There are certain things you should do because God is pleased with those things. And we should concentrate on getting as close to God as we can, which in turn will teach us to love the things he loves and hate the things he hates. John Newton's life rule was this, and I quote, I make it a rule of Christian duty. Never to go to a place where there's not room for my master as well as for myself. That's separation. J. Sidlow Baxter tells of an incident that occurred in his home. It so happened that directly in line with the picture of Christ was a mirror directly in line with in his home. And if one was to stand a certain way, the person's image would blot out the picture of Christ. In other words, the picture of Christ, there was a mirror that was right there directly in line with it. And if you stood and looked in the mirror at yourself a certain way, you couldn't see the picture of Christ. You follow me? Well,
What happened was one day his little daughter was standing before the mirror and happened to stand directly in line with the picture. When she moved again, the picture appeared. Can't you just see this little girl doing this? There's a picture. In other words, she's standing to the side of it a little bit, and she can see the reflection of the picture of Christ. Then she stands right in the middle of it, and she can't see the picture. So she's doing this. This. You follow me, right? And then finally, she ran so excitedly to her daddy, and she said this. And this little girl can teach us a lot with this statement. She said, "Daddy, I can't see Jesus when I'm looking at myself." We could say amen and go home right there. David Brainerd proclaimed this truth throughout his ministry. He said, and I quote, "I never got away from Jesus and Him crucified in my preaching. Said, I found that once these dear people were gripped by the great evangelical meaning of Christ's sacrifice on our behalf, I did not have to give them many instructions about changing their behavior." That's convicting, folks. Charles Spurgeon lay on his deathbed, and he testified to a friend, and again I quote, Charles Spurgeon now, "My theology now is found in four little words. Jesus died for me." He said, "I don't say this all." He said, "I don't say this is all I would preach if I were to be raised up again. But," he said, "it's more than enough for me to die upon now." That blesses my heart right there, folks. I'm telling you. You know what these men had? They knew what biblical separation was. Now, I'll be honest with you. There are Christians and there are churches. And every Christian and every church has to be very careful that they do not give a list of thou shalt nots. Thou shalt not, 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 and bypass the fact of get in the book, get in the prayer closet, get a fresh glimpse of God, and God will take care of the rest. Amen. Now that doesn't mean you take your standards for your teachers and throw them out the window. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying this. It's time we understand what it means to be a separated Christian. You know what it means? It doesn't mean I'm walking around bound so much. I can't do anything. No. You know what true biblical separation is? You're as free as a bird. Because you recognize who God is. You've seen Him fresh and new in your devotional walk. You've called for the book, chapter 8 in your life. You broke out in powerful prayer in chapter 9, and you have seen God high and lifted up. You have seen His holiness, and you say, "Good night. If He's against that, then I am too. If He likes that, then I like it too. I'm going to get as close to Him as I can, because I can't get in the world when I can get in Jesus Christ, and I'm just going to go to Him, and as I go to Him, He will take me from that." Hope I'm making sense to you. We're noticing the covenant together. This covenant of them saying, there is nothing too small to obey for our God. In chapter 10, we'll look at this later on, probably Wednesday night. But you'll see that every minute detail, they're saying, wait a minute, we've got a command in that. And we have committed, that's our covenant. If He tells us to do it, it's not small, it's huge. Let's obey God in that right there. Where did that come from? It came whenever one man got a burden for God and he left his position and he went and he said, let's do something for God. And God got a hold of their hearts. And before you know it, they say, good night, bring the book around here. I want to hear the book taught. I want to hear the book preached. I want to hear the book read. And they gathered their families and they heard it read for hours and hours and hours. And because of their hearing the word and seeing God, they burst out into prayer in chapter 9. And because of that, they say, He's been so good to us. Let's just make a commitment. Let's make a covenant right here. Who will be the first to sign? Nehemiah, I'll sign it. Who will follow me? The priests, the porters, the Nethinims, the ladies, the men, the sons, the daughters. They're just a snowball effect. You know what I want? Could you imagine if that happened at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? Now look around you. Great crowd here. God bless you.
We don't take for granted you're here. And I'm going to tell you something, I'm not satisfied. There's people living down the street that's never heard Jesus Christ's name, potentially. There's people living in John City and Kingsport dying, and they do not understand that Jesus Christ is the answer to their troubled heart. You know what we need? We don't need a pastor to get up and say, shake the bushes and get out there. We need to get up and say, get along with God. Start reading the Bible. Begging God to show Himself. And when you get close to God and you see His lovely face and you see what He's done for you on the cross of Calvary, the pastor won't need to get up and say, please get involved. You have to be starting ministries to keep the people involved. You say, Jody, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. Do you have a covenant in your life? Have you signed your name to the dotted line? And have you said wherever, whatever, whenever, I'll do it, God? If you haven't, here's how you get to that point. Call for the book. Get in the prayer closet. And God will burden your heart. Amen. This, we've just started. We've just started with the covenant. We've noticed its sealers and its separation. And may the Lord drive this on our hearts. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your mercy and grace in our life. And I pray, our Father, that you'll help us to be all that you'd have us to be. Help us to do all that you'd have us to do. Help people to respond today. May your will be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. My first and foremost question is this: are you in God's family? Maybe God has passed by your heart today and showed you Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. But it's made in such a way that His death does not automatically save you. He's made it to where you must choose Him to come into your heart. Forgive your sins and be your Savior. There may be somebody here today and you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not even sure I'm a Christian. I'm not even sure I'm saved. And let me say this to you. If you respond to this in just a moment, please do not be nervous thinking that we're going to come to your seat. We're just simply wanting to know how to proceed with the invitation. It is possible that in a crowd this size, somebody could have come today and you do not know the Lord as your Savior. Is there somebody like that? We're not going to draw attention to you. We're not going to call you out. I promise you that. But you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I need to be sure I'm a Christian. I want to know that I'm saved, but I do not know that right now. But I want to at least know that I'm in the family of God. I want to know that. I don't know that, but I want to know that. Is there anybody at all like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? My eyes are surfing. My eyes are looking. I'm looking. I'm surfing. Up in the balcony, down on the main floor. Anybody at all? Say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be sure I'm a Christian. Anybody at all? Then let me ask you this question. Are you using the influence that God has given you? Have you say, Jody, you were talking about those who sealed the covenant. You brought out under that point number one that we ought to use our influence like Nehemiah did. You say, Jody, God's speaking to me. You may not even know what your influence is, but you say, Jody, God is speaking to me, and I realize that I need to be more willing to use the influence, whatever it is that God has given me, to try to reach other people. If God is speaking to you in that way, would you be an honest person? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God help you. May the Lord help you with that. Have you say, Jody, what I need to do is I just need to obey the Lord. I just need to put my name on the dotted line and say, God, whatever, whenever, wherever, I'm yours. Have you say, Jody, would you pray for me? I want to make that decision. You might even be a little bit nervous to do that, but you say, Jody, I want to make a decision like that in my own heart where I just sign my name to the dotted line and I let the Lord fill it out. Is there somebody like that? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? You say, I want to do that. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for those several hands. God bless you. Let me ask you this question, then we'll extend the invitation. Are you truly living a separated Christian life? And notice I didn't mention anything you should not be doing. I didn't mention one thing. There are some things you should not be doing. But if you get where you need to be with the Lord, and you separate unto the Lord, He'll take you from the world. Have you say, Jody, I need to be a more separated Christian. Now, nobody's perfect. What I'm asking here is how close to God are you? That's what I'm asking. I'm not asking how far away from the world you are. I'm asking how close to the Lord you are. You show me a carnal Christian, I show you somebody who's not walking with God. That's the real issue. The real issue is not that they're doing that. The real issue is what they're not doing. They're not walking with God. Maybe you say, Jody, God's speaking to me about that. And I want to be a separated Christian. Would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand and be an honest person? God bless you. Several hands there. May the Lord help you. Let's all stand together, please, shall we? Father, I pray that you'll take this message and use it. Would you use it in a mighty, mighty way? Would you help people respond? Please help those who raise their hands leave their seats and come. Somebody's here that does not know you as their Savior, may you give them the strength to come. Help us to take a Bible and share with them the gospel. May your precious will be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. In just a moment, Brother Gary's going to sing. As soon as he sings the first word, if you raise your hand about anything, I want to invite you to come to this altar and pray. Would you, as he sings, would you come on?
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Somebody was in their home getting written permission from their parents. You don't know who they are. Sometimes I don't even know who they are. But it doesn't matter, does it? Because God knows all things. I'm just so excited about pressed forward, no doubt about it. Ask Corey or Rutherford. Did I say your first name right? If you wouldn't mind to stand, Miss Edwards, if you want to stand with her there. And Corey, you're coming today, and you are receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Am I right? We're thrilled for you. God bless you. This is the first step. And we hope that you'll stay in church with us here and let us train you about now as a child of God how to take the next step. And what is that next step? You're saved. You're going to heaven now no matter what, you know? But there's some things He wants you to do. I'd be happy for it. Say a big amen. I'm going to ask the Briggs family. I'm just going to call her the Briggs family, okay? If you wouldn't mind to stand. These dear folks are coming to us. And they desire membership in our church by letter. They've been saved. They've been baptized. And they are coming. They want to join our church by letter. And if they'll behave themselves, we'll let them stay. Could I have a motion to receive them by letter? Brother Bowman, Brother Martin, second. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand. Aye. Opposed, same sign. So carry. Welcome to the membership of our church. God bless you. We're thrilled for you. I'm sure many of you may want to come by and shake their hands. That'd be great. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Let me remind the deacon, 6 o'clock tonight in the chapel. Prayer meeting is scheduled at 6:10. If they want to come on in there, that'll be fine. That'll be good. And tonight at 6:30, we'll take a break from the book and apply it to the work of our church and to the outreach ministry of this church and how you can get involved to help us reach other people. I hope you'll be here 6:30.